Our guest today is Carmen Ciricillo, the construction comic. Carmen performs stand-up in venues across the country and has done his act in front of such trade groups as the National Home Builders Association and the American Subcontractors Association. He owns and is the principal instructor for Construction Comedy School, teaching safety, building codes, and other topics in a humorous manner. Thanks for joining us today. How did you start in comedy, and how did you wind up doing the construction aspect of it?
Comedy started in 86-ish in Cleveland.
Okay.
I was working with the family doing construction and building houses. I mean, in Cleveland, we did everything, really. You know, there was no, back then we worked for my uncle, and, you know, you did electrical, you did plumbing, you did concrete, you did whatever it was, a lot of laboring. And, you know, I always wanted to do stand-up. And one night we were out, and I said, let's do an open mic night. And I hit it, and there was a prize for $50, and I won. And I was like, all right, let's do this again. And it never ended.
So
it's kind of like I was doing karaoke too, though. See, that's the thing.
Okay.
You know, I could have ended up to be a karaoke star instead of a comedy guy. Back then, if you were, you know, it wasn't like a thing that you were trying to pursue as a career. You had no idea.
Okay. So you did that, and did you keep doing construction, or were you able to support yourself full time doing comedy?
Oh no, I had to work. I was still working all the way till 19. I probably had to work up until about 92-ish.
Okay.
Even when I left Cleveland in 1990, went to Los Angeles, and still was involved in painting and, you know, some type of trade work, just trying to break into the business. It wasn't fruitful at all. I'm not sure if it is fruitful monetarily.
But now you're in Florida, correct?
I'm in Florida now. Yeah, we've been here 30 years.
Okay. Okay. So yeah. You moved there to do comedy.
Yes. Well, I moved here to have children.
Okay. Because you could afford it in California?
Well, you know, I figure if I'm going to be on the road all the time, at least my wife would be around family.
Okay.
So everybody was down here.
Okay. Makes sense. And when did you start doing, combining the two, doing the construction training using your comedic skills?
That started in 97.
Okay.
So that was like 7 years after I started doing the actual, I did construction comedy first.
Okay.
You know, jokes about construction, a routine about it. It was really a character, a bad contractor that nobody wanted on the job. That was the guy. That wasn't hard to portray on stage.
Everybody knows one of those guys too.
Everybody knows that guy.
And then you have the idea that you could use this for training purposes then.
Well, it wasn't my idea. What happened was an engineering firm saw me at a show, and the guy wanted to do something similar to comedy traffic school.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
I haven't, so I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's something like California has a lot of those, and Florida has them too. So he decided that he was looking for a comedian that knew construction, but could do training.
Okay.
And I mean, I don't think he got the right guy right off the bat. I mean, I don't think there's a guy that you can find that has that already. I had to like create that myself.
Okay.
Like I think I wasn't ready out of the box. It took a lot of energy to get and a lot of effort to get to where we are today. Just to go through all the training for OSHA and code and all the other stuff.
And how big are you today? How big is the your outfit?
The company's huge. And we own it now. Me and my wife own it. You know, I worked for the engineering firm for 7 years. And then he focused and turned toward online school in 2004. So then we started doing the live seminars on our own in 2004. And probably, you know, I got a steady group of about, I'm going to say, you know, 5,000 students, as many as maybe 15,000, 20,000 have come through the school, but not all sticking with me for 25 years. Most of my guys have been with me since 1997.
Okay. And you offer a range of classes, building codes, safety. Do you think they get the message better through comedy?
I don't, you know, it's misleading to say it's comedy.
Okay.
You know, what it is interesting.
Okay.
You know, I don't try to make the topics funny because, you know, there's this line of credibility and humor. You know, right. Are we trying to be funny or are we trying to give out the information first and then be funny? So that's what I do. I try to give out the information in a way that you're going to pay attention and in a way that you'll remember. And it's 14 hours. So this is not a short course. So people typically, when this course came out and before I was teaching it, a lot of guys complained of just very boring, monotone type speakers and teachers that could not hold an audience. And I kind of tapped into the niche of, I know the construction industry. I know the people. I came from those types of people, the blue collar people from Cleveland. I know what relates to them and what makes them laugh and what they don't like. So I kind of figured out this formula of how I could teach it and keep them interested, number one. If there's any laughs, which there are, I mean, so I'm not saying there's no laughs. There's a good chunk of humor that I've seriously created with just comedy, but has, I don't want to say a message. It's just kind of the fluff around the message, you know, to make sure that people wake back up or get back interested, you know. Because it's not easy to sit there. I don't know how they do it. I really don't know how they do it.
Yeah, those days are pretty long usually when you're in those training classes.
I've done the OSHA 30 and it was a nightmare. You know, 30 hours in 4 days and knowing within the first half hour that this guy can't do it and I'm going to have to help him. You know, he couldn't keep me awake. He couldn't. There's no way that this guy could pull it off. But I was putting up with it because I had no choice.
Right, right.
It's a prison.
who are your clients mostly?
The big boys, the GCs, paper contractors. You know, guys that I want to say like mostly general contractors, building contractors, and residential contractors. And then we go into the trades, you know, roofing, plumbing, HVAC, underground utility, then specialty contractors, you know, everybody that does, whether it's some type of concrete surfacing or rescreening of lanais, whatever the state requires, whatever license is required to have this training comes to me.
Okay. So you cover just about everything then.
We do see the topics are not any specific trade topic. That's what's the interesting thing. What we right. try to do is do a very general, even with code. When we talk about the code, it's more of, is the code important? Here's some of the code that has changed. Does the public understand the code? How does the code affect the state of Florida? You know, things like that make sense for that general group that everybody could get something from. Nothing too specific, but also how to teach them where to find things in the code.
And that's probably the most important part, I would imagine, finding what they need.
Yeah, absolutely. I try to tell them that they're not kindergartners taking safety class anymore. They know the standards. They've been through the drill. They understand safety programs. What we try to do is express how important it is for them to disseminate that information to their people. Can you teach a safety class and keep your people awake and keep them interested? Because it's important for them, not me. I don't have any employees. I'm teaching them who have employees and have workers' comp and have actual job sites. We're in an air-conditioned ballroom drinking coffee.
You have a series of YouTube videos where you do today's contractor versus from when yes. you were coming out. How accurate do you think that is in terms of how people approach things like safety and things like
that? Oh, it's on the money right now. You know, because guys, the reason I have so many followers online is because you know, the typical contractor is older right now. The guys right. that are running the jobs, not a lot of new blood in construction. My son just graduated from University of Florida, Rinker School of Construction. So he's going to be one of the new people out there. And the numbers of people who have offered him a job right now, I mean, he's living the life that you can't believe. You know, if people only knew what a construction degree would produce everybody would have a construction major. And he's never going to dig. He's never going to crawl. He's never going to get sweaty.
So it sounds like he made the right choice.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's so many people out there that are doing the same type of thing. They just don't realize you can do it within the construction industry. You know, you want to be in management, get involved in construction management. You want to be in accounting, financing. You want to be in some type of development of any product, really get into construction right now, because construction is so hot. And they're just, I mean, he's living in a beautiful boutique hotel in Brickell, Miami, and being brought to baseball. He's 22. He don't deserve this. He needs to be thrown into a ditch and covered with dirt. The millennials, you know, these younger kids, I make fun of them only because I think that you have to make fun of everything to be right. Fair. Really. You really do. If they can't take it, well, I'm sorry. That's what the world's about. You better be able to take a little bit of a beating, because the beatings just get worse as you get older. We don't want you to be shocked when you're 50 and all of a sudden don't know what's going on. We want you to have a little bit of a tough skin by the time you get to at least 35, 40 years old. So, yeah. What was your original question?
I don't remember.
You asked me, so I got off track. I got off track about my son.
Yeah, no, about the difference between the 80s and today. And you said that it is very true.
It's HR. You know what I hear is, I don't run a construction company. I'll have to deal with HR. But HR is the headache. The lawyers are the headache, Ted.
Right.
Lawyer. Oh, my gosh. Because everybody's going to claim something and then find a lawyer to prove that they're the victim of something. And that's a big problem. You know, I know guys to this day that they're, no matter what happens to them, they'll never go and see. I shouldn't say that. If you cut your finger, if you fall, if your back hurts, a lot of these guys used to work through it. Oh, yeah. Now everybody knows you can get off of work for it.
Yeah.
You can get a check for it. And then it's not just construction, but it bleeds into every job site. I feel good that we can have flexible time, because number one, the reason I became self-employed was freedom.
Right.
I want freedom. So I understand that people who are working are seeking not just money. We're all seeking freedom. More freedom, the better. Absolutely. Absolutely. But the difference is that when you don't have balance, because we need you to do produce the money. That's why we're all here. But if you can't, you know, carry your own weight, then someone else has to carry more of your weight plus his weight. Then what?
Yeah,
that's the big headache.
Do you have a subject you like to teach the best, and do you have one that you would just as soon not do, but you have to do?
Well, safety is a great topic because it's life. You know, it's all about life. It's not just about job site safety. It's really your mental capacity to understand risk, and that really is what this is about. How do I judge risk? You know. I really do talk about the psychology of safety, and what I found in a lot of schooling, that if you talk about things that are too basic, you know, these things of just the standards, people don't pay attention. But if I start talking to you about how do you think about safety, do you understand the dangers, not just of being on a roof, but maybe getting too close to somebody on the freeway that's not moving over from the left lane to the right lane, then you're pushing your luck trying to, you know, with your impatience, you're taking a chance constantly because you don't understand the risk involved. And what happens is that we've all got something to lose, and we could lose it so quickly that maybe we don't understand that, or maybe we don't think about that enough. So trying to say, look, when you're on the roof, don't just take it for granted that you can handle the roof, and that some of these things don't look dangerous, but they're more dangerous than you really believe. Like a flat roof is probably more dangerous than a pitch roof, because the flat roof imitates the ground and you think you're on the ground. And when you're on the ground, everything is great. It's easy. I'm on the ground, but you're not, you're 12 feet up. And that's the kind of things we're talking about, and how you must participate in the safety program. Because today, safety first is the big message, you know, where the companies are saying, we have it handled. Safety first. That's all we're thinking about. We're not thinking about profit. We're thinking about safety. Of course, you first and your health. But that's not true. And then when the worker finds out that the corporation was lying to them, then we lose all credibility when the real safety message has to be spoken.
Sure. Sure. And your least favorite thing to teach? Code. Oh, yeah. Getting back to the legal thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Any type of code, legal stuff. It's not my favorite. It's too boring. It's just words.
Okay.
You know, nobody wants to know that stuff. It's like a will. I'm not interested in knowing anything about it. I'd rather just wing it. It's like hurricane season. I don't want to get ready. I don't want to spend all this time preparing for something that may never happen.
Yeah, in Florida, though, it probably is going to happen at some point, right?
I don't think so.
Not
that's
this
fake
year?
News, Ted. That's fake news. Jimmy Cantore is the best actor in a fake weather story. He really is. That guy gets everybody hyped up in Florida every year. And, I mean, we talk about that. One of our topics is, of course, wind mitigation because we are affected down here.
Yeah, every part idea of the trees, right?
Well, you know, everyone, the state's trying to do what they can do to a certain level. There's nothing that's hurricane proof. It's hurricane resistant. You know, we can make impact resistant windows, but I got to tell you something, the window can take a beating, right? But the block and the sheathing next to it can't. You got to be damn lucky if that 2x4 is coming through the air that it picks the window to go through. Because if it goes through the block or it goes through the roof or it goes through the sheathing, you're out of luck. I mean, really, it's a game of luck. It's not, there's not much skill down here when it comes to hurricane season. Except get the hell out of the way or get in your car and go to North Carolina and hide out.
Okay. I haven't covered all my questions. I guess anything new on the horizon?
For schooling?
For your school or for anything else, any other ventures you've got going? Or you got the YouTube video?
Personally, I do a podcast. I do a podcast, but it's nothing to do. See, my life, I have a life that's kind of split. I do 20% construction comedy and then 80% comedy.
Right.
So sometimes I'll be in the construction comedy mode, which I just got out of. We just ended our last seminar, our last live seminar. We have an online school that really, my wife really runs that business, and I have nothing to do with it except writing courses and kind of, you know, chiming in every so often, but not much. You know, it's mostly for me now. I will go out and do club gigs, or I'll do some corporate gigs. And when it comes to construction, like I just did a big home builder, and they're the biggest private home builder in the country. They had a bash. They gave away an $80,000 F-150. It was amazing. You know, the business right now is just booming like it was in 06.
Sure.
So they'll throw money at these. I do these parties that it's just amazing what the people like. This is like what my son's getting. You know, you having these beautiful hotels, amazing dinners, parties, 3-day party, cash to go, whatever you want to do, go to the bars, go to the shops, because they're working so hard. This home builder closed like 600 homes in a month. You know, just 1 month. That was just 1 month of his life. So these guys are like happy to have a comic come in and entertain. So I do a lot of those. The HBA stuff, I really slowed down on a lot of the corporate stuff because I was so busy with the school.
Right.
And I was kind of interested in getting back to the club work. You know, I like to do the stand up for the public and not just be so focused on one topic like construction. So right now I'm trying to work all the different angles. I'm going to New York and Baltimore and Cleveland and just doing stand-up for regular clubs.
And my favorite non-construction bit of yours is about your son's baseball bat, because I've been through that myself.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Yeah, don't get it.
You know, the bats cost $300-$400. But I'm a cheap father because the salesman's like, guess what? We have a bat that's $600. Well, he hasn't got a hit all year off the $300 bat. Think I'm going to spend six? Unless this thing has some type of homing device where the ball is drawn to the sweet spot? No. You know, I'm the only father at the end of the season behind the backstop cheering for him to strike out. I'm like, come on, buddy, don't get a hit tonight. There's not one mark on the bat. It's going back to the store. Don't get a hit tonight. That's exactly true. That, you know, my whole thing is, you know, with the kids especially, is like wasting money is so horrible.
Yeah.
Because I don't get to waste it on me. We used to go to like dinner, and I got three kids, and we would go to like a nice, you know, mid-level restaurant, like a Carrabba's, you know, where the entree is like 15, 20 bucks.
Yeah.
And they would get all the free bread, and they would eat all the bread, and I would watch them fill up after they ordered us $18 Spadino, a scallops and shrimp is coming to the table. They're not going to even eat it because they're going to eat the bread and Coke, and their stomach is expanding. And what happens is that we end up putting everything in foam boxes, coming to the house where my wife just spent $400 on groceries that day that we didn't cook. And it ends up the next day. I think what I used to say about that joke was we brought $150 worth of leftovers back to the house so we can throw them out in our garbage the next day, not the restaurant's garbage. Because no one ate it.
Right.
Hey. I don't eat leftovers, Dad. Well, why did you order this? You didn't eat this in the first place.
Same way in my house. Same way.
Oh, we all have the same issues. I'm sure you have the Xbox 360 and
yeah.
the video gaming systems that they get wrapped up in.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't know how you punish your kids when they were little, but I used to, what I would say is the way to punish your kid today, there's no spanking no more. There's no going to your room. There's no in the corner. What you do is you take his wireless Xbox controller and you give him one with a cord. And then he doesn't know what's going on. Why am I attached to the machine, Dad? Yeah, these guys, I still have to deal with a lot of, now it's adult children, but mostly me and my wife are the comedy, you know, going on the road, going to the hotels, trying to stay in relatively decent shape while you're traveling. It's all difficult, you know, trying to get through life in general and then trying to entertain everybody. It's not as easy as you would think. It'd be, you know, it seems like it's a fun job, but I'll tell you, after a while, it's not easy.
I hear anything else, it's work, right?
It's all work.
Yeah.
It's all work. It's a different kind of work. It's not back. It's not outside. We're not digging. Although I think that that's probably the best relief. Most people are taking like some type of anxiety drugs today, Lexapro or Prozac. I think if you had a sledgehammer and you got a chance to beat on like a wall or some glass, it's better than the drugs. It's much more relief. Getting out of that comfort zone.
You're right. All right. Well, you've got things to do. So I thank you for being on our podcast.
Absolutely.
Thanks for, it was fun. And good luck with your training.
Thank you, Ted.
All right. Thank you.